white dress. With your white dress. And with your white dress, as you enter that church, and because you are walking towards that altar at the end of the church, and in that altar, at the foot of the altar, your bridegroom is waiting for you to get married with you. That's the path of our lives, and the real bridegroom, that is Jesus Christ. And our lives are really step by step moving towards that altar. Because you will see in these triduum, we have to go back to the ABC, and the ABC is, what is the meaning of life? You know, I remember when we were, I mean, you remember too, when we were kids and we were preparing for the for our first communion and we were studying catechism. I don't know, I guess that when I was doing that, because I was 9 years old at that time, when I was going to the sisters and the sisters were giving us catechesis, and and that was 1986, so in theory, that thick catechism of Pope John Paul II had already been out there for 3 years. That was 1983, so this is 1986. But I guess that they haven't come up with, transform it into questions that you can ask the kids. So we still had our little handover, like little booklets that the sisters made with sheets of paper that they just folded in half and then they just flipped, and then they would give us the questions and answers, sometimes with little drawings about the Trinity and creation and all those things. But I remember the first question of the catechism was not, is God the Father God? Is God the Son God? Is God the Holy Spirit God? I mean, those were the next questions. The first question was, what is the meaning of life? And if you go to that thick catechism of the Catholic Church, you go to the introduction, the very first numbers, number 1, 2, and 3, are basically that question, what is the meaning of life? What are we here for? Like, again, the question that God is asking Elijah, what are you doing here? It's not just a question about what are we doing here in this triduum, but in the triduum, it's a great moment to ask ourselves the question, what are you doing here in this life? What are you here for? And then I knew that answer. When I was 9 years old, I got that answer right. It's like the answer was, we are in this. The meaning of life is to know and to love Jesus Christ in this life so that we can be with him in the eternal life. So basically that's the answer. And that should be like the most intimate part of our lives that's just moving us forward. And then everything has a meaning. Because if we lose that answer, then we're lost. We're in the desert and then we're lost. So, if the meaning of life is to know and to love Jesus Christ, then the meaning of life is to go to that altar and to receive Jesus Christ as my loving bridegroom at the end, and just be with him in the eternal life. Because he's going to take me to heaven, and I'm not coming back. I'm just going to be with him happily ever after. Literally, that's what God ever after means. So, that's another image. Another image that can help you for composition of place, if you decide to use this, so I'm giving you different options to use as your composition of place of this trip. I'm going to the church with my white dress. I'm going to the lake. I'm going to the river. Another possibility is to go to a pilgrimage. Just a pilgrimage. We're all together because we're going to do a pilgrimage together. We're going to go to a beautiful place where Jesus and Mary and Joseph are waiting for us, and we're here, and this is all part of this walking together towards that place. And for that composition of place, it is very useful to use the Psalm 122. Let me read from Psalm 122, because it's a short psalm, and it really says, rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city, walled round about. There the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as it was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There are the thrones of justice, the thrones of the house of David. For the peace of Jerusalem, pray, may those who love you prosper, may peace be within your ramparts, prosperity within your towers. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I say, peace be with you. For the sake of that house of the Lord, our God, I pray for your good. So this is really what this first conference is all about. Just to tell you that we are happy because we're going to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is not really one of the meditations or all the meditations or being here in the mountain, which is very beautiful because all the tribes, when they went to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was put high in the mountain, so they were just climbing to go to Jerusalem. So, and we had to really drive up to come to this holy mountain. So it is very helpful. But as I said, it's not the trivial in general or any specific meditation, but it is the Mass. The Mass must be the center of our trivial, every Mass. And I hope that in the trivial, we will really grow in the love and understanding of how much the Mass means for us. And already I hinted at that when I gave you this composition of place, possible composition of place, of going to Jesus Christ that is waiting for you at the foot of the altar, which actually is exactly what is happening in every single Mass. Because when you move from your pew to the main nave, and then you just walk towards that altar, you're really walking towards a bridegroom, because the one who is waiting there is the priest, who is actually the person, the witness of any wedding. But it's not the priest. It's Jesus in the Eucharist. He is way bigger than the priest. It just looks like it's smaller because it's in the shape of bread. But the one who is there is Jesus. And then the priest is like a minister. He's saying the body of Christ. But when he is telling you the body of Christ, he's actually telling you your name. Do you take Jesus as your loving husband? And then when you say amen, that means I do take him as my loving husband. And then Jesus, I mean, he's just waiting for you, like coming. I mean, it's like, I'm not feeling this, but I'm just telling you that it would be nice. I'm feeling him just how's his heart bumping when it's like in the Eucharist, no? When he's waiting for you, and it's like, here she comes. It's like, Jesus, okay, she's coming. No, she's coming. She's so in love with you. And that's a great moment. It's not as a great moment for you as it is for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ, it's a great moment to receive you, to unite, to take you as his loving wife in every single Mass. But you will see, that's part of the mystery. He doesn't do that in every Mass. He just does that once and for all, because there's only one Mass. It's a mystery, because we're always going back to the same Mass. So I hope that we will also in this critical go deeper in that mystery of the Mass, and how the whole notion and concept of time and space change. And then when you really realize that this is happening just once, it's a very, very deep emotional experience. So this is a pilgrimage, and if you want also another composition in place, it's also the way of the cross. It's the way of the cross because Jesus is also going up to Jerusalem. Like, he went up to Jerusalem when he was a kid, he was 12 years old, and then he stayed there in Jerusalem. But his ultimate and most important walk towards Jerusalem, his most important pilgrimage, when he really reached the top, he was carrying the cross. So for us, it is also a dimension of this ritual, is just to walk with him, that he is carrying the cross. Like Mary, just walking with him and just looking at my Jesus and giving him strength and just having this compassion that he is going there. And we will see that that has also a lot to do with the Mass, because he is going there to be crucified, to give the virtue to the Mass. So in order to create the Mass, there is no Mass without that sacrifice. So that's another composition of place. And we will see that the whole synthesis, the synopsis, everything about the Holy Scripture is nothing other than the Holy Scripture. This book here, big book. This book can be put together in very few words. It's the book of human failure and God's success. And God is successful. It's God's victory. And he was victorious because he got to us. You will see that from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, men were running away from God. Always running away from God. And God was just chasing them. Like, no, wait. And then all of a sudden, in Jesus Christ, he reaches out and he finally brings us to himself. And then it's over. The Bible actually ends. If not, if it were not for God, there were two possibilities. That this Bible would just go forever and ever, or even worse, we wouldn't even have a Bible. Because God just left us to ourselves, and because we're left to ourselves, we just appear and don't exist anymore. So we're also celebrating this ritual of God's love. We're with someone who loves us. We're leaving everything for the moment to go to the desert with love itself, with the one we were created for, with the one who gives meaning to our lives. And that's the only thing important. Nothing else that I will say in this ritual is important. You can always go back to this, and that's what is important. And you can have 3 full days with your beloved. Because he wants you to. Because he loves you. And that's what you're doing. That's the answer to the question. What are you doing here? I am here to be with you because I love you. Maybe one more thing. Just to insist in that garden before entering the church. There is another psalm of the Bible, Psalm 84. Actually, it's 84 verse 11, but the whole Psalm 84 is also very, very proper, very good for our retreat. Just gonna read to end this introductory talk, just a little bit of that song. The title of the song is Prayer of a Pilgrim to Jerusalem. And it starts, "How lovely your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. As the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest, to settle her young. My home is by your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They never cease to praise you." That's what you're doing. "Blessed the man who finds refuge in you. In their hearts, our pilgrim grows. A As they pass through the back valley, they find spring water to drink. The early rain covers it with blessings. They will go from strength to strength and see the God of gods on Zion. That's what we're doing. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob. O God, watch over our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed. That's what you're doing here. And you're also his anointed, because you got an anointing when you were baptized, and you got another anointing by your chrism. And maybe you could add another anointing by the anointing of the city. I don't know. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Better one day here than 300 elsewhere. That's what you're doing. To have the day of your life. Better the threshold of the house of my God than the home in the tents of the wicked. For a sun and shield is the Lord God, bestowing all grace and glory. The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk without reproach. O Lord of hosts, blessed the man who trusts in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.